I invite you to bow your heads and pray with me. Father God, we ask in the strong name of Jesus that you would send your Holy Spirit upon us. Holy Spirit, may you well up from within us. May you descend upon us as rain. Settle our hearts. Settle our minds. Settle us into you and your love. May only that which is from you, Lord, come from my mouth. And may it be your word to us today, your living word. Help us to open our hearts and our minds to receive, to be drawn into a deeper relationship with you and with one another, Lord. Pour out your blessings upon this time, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Our first passage of scripture this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 1. I'll be reading verses 1 through 5 and then verses 10 through 13. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. We now turn to Matthew chapter 5, be reading verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil things against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, I'd originally written this sermon to share with you 2 weeks ago, and as many of you might know, became ill overnight, and so we're going to give it the old college try again here this morning for a second time. What was interesting is that as we had looked at the sermons and the topics, this was going to flow into what Laura shared with us last week, but as I sat and listened to her message last week, I felt like this really was really the more prophetic way of hearing her word last week and then this word to us this morning. And if you were here last week, you know that she talked about how we can become content with the Lord, which has been our series throughout this Lenten season, finding and cultivating our contentment in the Lord. And she talked about finding our contentment in our littleness and being little in terms of like children with the Lord. Little as we are completely dependent upon God our Father. Little as we become more and more dependent and more vulnerable before the Lord. An invitation to be content in being God's little ones. And in that is an understanding that our greatness, that our significance, that our security rests in our identity as children of God. And that's really the foundation for the message here this morning. To cultivate our contentment by becoming more and more secure in our identity as God's children and learning how to live out of that place. Now, I'm not sure how many of you practice visualization. This was something that actually my mom instilled in me when I was younger, but it primarily related to athletics. You know, she would say, "Now, before you go up and throw that pitch, visualize throwing a strike." Or before you get out on the football field and you visualize the game, visualize what it looks like to win, visualize what it looks like to, you know, to make the right pass or whatever that would look like. And that's something that I still do today. If we're performing, you're playing the piano, visualize and imagine what that song is going to sound like coming off the piano. Not as effectively, but I try to do it when I play golf. Visualizing that perfect straight drive landing in the fairway. But you know, it also works the opposite, because there's certain holes out at Brookside that no matter how many times I play them, the ball doesn't go straight. It ends up way over there. So when I step up on the tee, what do you think I'm thinking about? Last time I played this hole, I hit the ball 50 yards off the fairway into that pond. And guess where I hit the ball again? 50 yards off the fairway in that pond. You see, what we visualize often sets us up for reality. You know, Scripture talks about how our minds can be renewed, how we can begin to renew our minds and visualize a new identity, a new place. And so as we talk about contentment this morning, I want us to begin to visualize and consider the attitude that we can have as children of God. Philippians 2:5 says, "Let the same mind be in you that was in Jesus Christ." Romans 12:2, a passage many of us are familiar with, "Be transformed by the renewing of your minds, by changing the way you think." That's how the New Living Translation translates that. That the things that we think about, that the things that we contemplate, that the things that we visualize, that our attitudes about life and our action will speak to what we live out. And so this morning what I want to attempt to do is kind of connect a few dots for us. This secure identity as a child of God and how that forms the way we live out our faith and seek contentment. But I want to do that by looking at the Beatitudes, this teaching of Christ. And what I want to offer you this morning is that with each of these Beatitudes, there's somewhat of a scale that we can use to analyze our movement in life towards contentment. In fact, on the back of your bulletin, if you're taking notes, the way I wrote this out in my bulletin is that on the left-hand side, I listed the Beatitudes. And we can live into those Beatitudes when our identity is secure as a child of God. But when we begin to become insecure in our identity, then we begin to live into alternative ways that I'll share with you here this morning. I don't want to go too far into identity security as a child of God, because we've talked a lot about that recently. I'll remind you, on January 27th, there was a sermon, "Who Are You?" And you can find that on the church website and go back and listen to that. A couple weeks ago at our Saturday evening service, we talked about what it means to be adopted as God's children. And I'll just share with you a list of things that are biblical truths of our adoption in Christ. That we are chosen, we are loved, we are protected, and we are cared for by God. We are a part of and brought into God's eternal family. We are co-heirs with Jesus Christ. And we are invited into an intimacy with God the Father. When the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and invites us to call God not just Father, but Abba, Daddy. This deep, intimate term of endearment that speaks to an incredible love that our Daddy has for us. That as a part of God's family and being adopted, we're invited into a spiritual union through the Holy Spirit with the triune God. And all of this is founded on God. It's because of God's work for us. And because of that, we are secure in our adoption. And that's what John's talking about in these passages that we just read. You were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but you were born of God. The New Living Translation, I like it, says, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. The Message says that these are the God-begotten, not the blood-begotten, not the flesh-begotten, not the sex-begotten blessings of God. We are children of God, born of God. And because God adopts us, our identity as God's children cannot be removed. It cannot be taken away. In the same way, the courts finalize adoptions for us, and once that's finalized, it's done. When we're brought into God's family, adopted as God's children, how much more is that finalized? How much more is that done? How much more secure are we? And so it allows us to speak this phrase in Jesus Christ as a child of God, I am enough. As I am this morning, as you are this morning, as we sit here together this morning, hear this truth. You are enough. You are enough. And the more we renew our minds with this true identity, the more our hearts can be transformed, and the more peace and contentment we experience as we become more like Christ and receive God's blessing as God's children. And so as we turn to the Beatitudes, know this, that Beatitudes means literally God's supreme blessing. It's a supreme blessing that we have offered to us in Jesus Christ. It speaks to a current state of well-being. In other words, it speaks to a state of contentment. And so as we seek to live into the Beatitudes, we're seeking to cultivate our contentment. And what I would say to us this morning is that it begins with this foundational truth of understanding our truest identity as a child of God, of being able to say, I am enough. And so let's just work through these quickly, one by one. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. The poor in spirit are those who understand their need for Jesus, understand their need for God to be in their lives. Humbly recognize, I need you, Lord. I need you, Christ. I need you, Father. And yet it's an understanding that because of Jesus, I am in. I can come and I can enter into the kingdom of God, the family of God. And so being secure in Christ is to understand the security we have in the kingdom of God when we come to the Lord through Jesus Christ. But on the flip side of that, what I'd say is that when we are not living out of security in our identity in Christ, instead of being poor in spirit, we take on an attitude of posturing, of trying to position ourselves. I think of James and John who are having an argument, and they want to know who's going to sit the right hand of Christ. And like, Lord, which of us is put in the right place? Which of us is going to be right there by your side? They're posturing because they're not yet secure in who they are. They don't have a full picture. They don't have an understanding. And so they think they need to posture among themselves, figure out which of the disciples is the greatest, is the most loved, is the most important, will be the one seated next to Jesus. And how frequently can we do that in our own lives when we lose our security as a child of God? I have to earn it. I have to posture. I have to get ahead of others. That's how it works in the rest of the world. Maybe that's how it works in God's kingdom too. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Poor in spirit understand that they are in the kingdom as children of God, and there is no need for posturing. Blessed are those who mourn. To mourn is to understand and to be in touch with our deep sorrow, to come to the Lord with an understanding of our emotional needs. Because when we understand our need to mourn and to bring our true and honest emotions before the Lord, we understand that those emotions will drive so much of our lives when left untouched and when held within. And when we do that, our heart begins to cry out. We begin to experience an emotional pain and discomfort. And in order to try to ease that pain, we begin to turn to the world for numbing. And so what I would say is the opposite of mourning as a child of God, we begin pleasure seeking. We begin pleasure seeking as a way to numb or ignore or to detach from these deep emotional needs. Yet when we're secure in our identity as a child of God, we know that we have an Abba Father who wants nothing more than to have us come and mourn and to fall into his arms and to cry out before the Lord, I need you to come and touch these deep places in my heart. We don't need to turn to the world and to the pleasures of the world to fulfill those needs. We can come to our Father, to our Daddy, to Abba, God, and mourn and experience the comfort of God. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. The meek are the humble, and when I speak to the word humble, what I don't mean is that we take on this posture of, oh, I'm this lousy, miserable person. Oh, there's nothing good of me. No, to be meek is actually to have an understanding of who we truly are in Christ and to live out of that place. You see, pride enters in when we're trying to be someone we're not. And so to remain a child of God, to be secure in that identity as God's child, is to take on a posture of meekness. A.W. Tozer says that Jesus calls us to his rest, and meekness is his method. The meek man cares not at all who is greater than he, for he has long ago decided that the esteem of the world is not worth the effort. The rest Christ offers is the rest of meekness. The blessed relief which comes when we accept ourselves for what we are and cease to pretend. In other words, when we become secure in our identity as God's child. It will take some courage at first, but the needed grace will come as we learn that we are sharing this new and easy yoke with the strong Son of God himself. To live a life of meekness is to set aside our desire for power. You see, when we're not secure in our identity as God's children, then we seek power. We seek to lord over people. And yet the scripture that we read in John says that the Lord gave us power to become the children of God. This is God's power in us. And to be meek is to understand the power of God available to us as children, the authority that we have as a child of God. Blessed are the meek, those who seek to be who we are truly as children of God and not to pursue power in this world. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. This is our deep need for Jesus Christ, a deep hunger, a deep thirst, a driving passion for righteousness, which is and who is Jesus Christ himself. It's to understand that we are filled in Christ, that all of our deep desires are met, that these core longings that we often speak of are met fully and truly in Christ. And so we do not need to pursue possessions. We do not need to pursue possessions. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness as a child of God. When we become insecure in our identity, we try to meet those deep desires with the possessions of the world. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. A most basic definition of mercy is to withhold what someone deserves, to withhold what someone deserves. It's acting out of forgiveness and kindness and compassion. And when we receive God's mercy upon our lives, it's meant to lead us to live a life of mercy towards others. And when we're secure as children of God, we're secure in the mercy we've received. And we know that we don't need to be the ones who are the judges and rulers of the world, because we can trust God with that. And so the opposite of being merciful is to live a life of punishment or payback towards others. You see, when I'm secure in my identity as a child of God, I leave that to the Father. But when that sense of security begins to wane, I then begin to take it upon myself to be the one to punish, to be the one to pay back, to be the one that gives what these people that hurt me deserve. But when I'm doing that, I'm holding on to it. And by holding on to it, I'm moving myself away from contentment and peace in my life. Blessed are the merciful. To be a person of mercy is to let go of these things and to give them and entrust them to the Lord. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. The pure in heart are those who are cleansed from within, who have an inward holiness. And for those of us who are children of God, that's promised us already. We have the righteousness of Christ. We are already pure. We are already holy. We are already set apart. This is already true of us. How? Through Jesus Christ. And so as a child of God, are you pure in heart? Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. But when we aren't secure in this, then instead it leads to living a life of perfection, of moral perfection, of seeking to do good deeds and trying to earn this purity in heart, trying to earn this righteousness for ourselves. So to be secure as a child of God is to understand that I already have a righteousness of Christ within through Jesus. When I lose that sense of security, I begin to move towards perfectionism through a works-based theology, that only through my good deeds can I attain righteousness. Moving on, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. We have peace with God. We're called to live a life of peace towards others, to be ministers of reconciliation in this world. To be peacemakers is to understand that we are all at the table. We all have a seat, and we're all invited to dine. You do realize in this analogy of this incredible banquet that will one day be in the kingdom of God, like everyone is there. All those who have professed faith in Jesus Christ, regardless of background or ethnicity, will be at that table. Those to whom we often consider our enemies, Christ says, love and be at peace because they're going to be at the table with you. When we're secure in our identity as a child of God, we can receive that. We can live a life of peace because we know it's not our job to figure out all of these complicated things in the world. It's not a competition. We're all there. We're all at the table. We all have a seat and we're all going to receive a meal. I don't have to earn it. And so the opposite of this, when I'm not living out of my true identity, is a sense of performance. I have to perform to earn a seat at the table. I have to perform to earn a meal. I have to perform to get ahead of those around me. And this is not a life of peace. And yet when we understand that we are all children of God, we don't have to beat anybody out. We just come because we're welcomed. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Persecuted because of their faith, because of their righteousness, because they remained firm and stood firm as Jesus did, to the convictions of their faith and to their convictions of Jesus Christ as Lord. And when we're insecure in our identity as a child of God, it's hard to remain firm in the midst of persecution. And we can so quickly go to the other side, what I would call people pleasing. I'm going to live into whatever you want for my life instead of stand firm for the convictions the Holy Spirit's laid on my heart. This doesn't lead to contentment. I will please you to avoid suffering. I will please you to avoid tension. I will please you to avoid persecution, anxiety in the relationship or in the organization, instead of remaining firm in our convictions of who we are in Christ. And I ask this simple question to myself and to each of you. If we are living trying to please others, who in that moment is our Lord? They are. Why? Because they have control of our life. And yet, as children of God, we have one Lord, one God, to whom we serve, for whom we live, who becomes the person that we seek to please and already have simply because we're children. The pleasing of God is done. It's over. We're there. We can simply receive it. I realize this is a long list, and it's a lot to take in and process, and this is kind of a big picture view of these things that we're wrestling with. But I'm going to invite Laura to come up. She's going to share with us in just a moment a song that's just been on my heart and mind a lot recently that speaks to this. But as she does, I just want to read these words: posturing, pleasure seeking, power, possessions, punishment and payback, perfection and performance, and people pleasing. These are all tendencies that we have to live into when we're not secure in our identity as children of God. And just reading these words to you makes me tired. It wears me out, and it hits close to home because I know in my life I've walked down this road so many times in so many of these areas, and I know where it leads. It leads to exhaustion. It leads to brokenness, to contentment. It's not the way to supreme blessedness. These are not characteristics the children of God. You see, we as God's children have all of this already. You are a child of God. You are enough. You have all that you need in Jesus Christ.
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but he brought me his love for me. His love for me. Who the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. Free at last, he has ransomed. His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, he died for me. Who the
Contentment is one of those things that to experience God's peace in our lives, to experience that sense of resting in the Lord, I believe is a cry of all of our hearts. And for so many of us, the thing getting in our way is understanding and having a true sense that we are God's children, that we are welcome, that we are received, that we are accepted, that we are loved. So I'm just going to invite you to reflect for a moment on this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to read a series of truths, a series of things that are true of you today in Jesus Christ. And I just want you to ask the Holy Spirit to highlight one of these words for you today. What's the one thing that you hear in this Scripture that's true of you that God especially wants you to hear, to know, and to accept for yourself? You are blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. You were chosen in Jesus Christ before the foundation of the world. You are holy. You are blameless before God. You are loved. You are adopted as God's child. Your adoption pleases God. It was God's plan to welcome you in. You have received God's grace. You are redeemed. You are forgiven. You are being gathered up by God. You have an inheritance. You have a destiny. You are marked with a seal from the Holy Spirit. As you ask the Holy Spirit to highlight one of those things, if one of those phrases really spoke to you, I just want to encourage you in prayer before the Lord to claim that as your own. Make it an identity statement. If the phrase "you are loved" really spoke to you, just simply say to the Lord, "I am loved." Receive it for yourself. Claim it as your own. Allow it to be a mark on your heart this morning. Just a moment, I'm going to say a blessing over the congregation and release you to your day. But I'm also going to invite you into a time of ministry if you'd like to respond. Yesterday morning, I sensed the Lord inviting me to pull out the baptismal font and filled it with water, prayed over the water, invited the Holy Spirit to come. And so if this morning you feel like the Lord is in a significant way inviting you to receive this message, receive this word, receive and have it sealed upon you, a mark of a new identity as a child of God, I'm just going to invite you at the end of the service to come, and I'll be at the font to anoint you with holy water and to pray that you would receive this identity and that the Spirit would seal it upon your heart. So for those who want to respond to that invitation, in just a moment, I invite you to come. Otherwise, let us close our time in prayer. Lord, we thank you for being present with us. We thank you for the ministry of your Spirit among us. Continue to pour out your blessings upon us as you send us out. We ask in Christ's name, amen.